And a good morning to you. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. It is a Thursday morning, first Thursday of January, first Thursday of 2021. Oh, yeah, that's right, because Friday was New Year's Day. And we have our guests from the National Bio and Agri Defense Facility joining us here this morning. Our regular guests include Dr. Ken Burton, NBAF coordinator for USDA. Good morning.
Good morning, Brandon. Welcome to 2021.
Yeah, thank you. And Katie Pulaski, communications director, also joining us. Good morning.
Good morning, Brandon, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. And we have our special guest here for NBAF is program manager Tim Barr from the Department of Homeland Security. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Brandon. Good to be with you again.
Yeah, it's certainly a pleasure. And I think a lot of us turned the page on 2020 and optimistic here for 2021, and I'm sure that's kind of the same sentiment for you guys out at NBAF because got the years-long project going on. We did see we'll start with Mr. Barr first. There was a lot of news about realigning NBAF's schedule last month, which was when NBAF was supposed to be done. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. What we did with all the fun things we had to deal with in 2020 in dealing with the pandemic was, to use the old phrase, we made lemonade out of lemons. So we were getting notifications back in the springtime when COVID was hitting that the construction contractor, McCarthy Mortensen, was having problems getting certain folks to the site and getting certain materials to the site from other states, and in Kansas somewhat, but basically from other states. So at that time, we were projecting a delay. And what we did in collaborating with USDA, our USDA partners who are going to operate the facility, is take a step back and see what was going on and realign the schedule. So there's two elements of work that were always going to be, that were previously going to be done after the December construction date. We were going to do some technology upgrades that are the result of the design being dated. It was completed back in 2012, so some elements have changed. And then we're going to do some equipment installation. That was going to be done after the what we previously called the substantial completion of construction milestone. So with the COVID delays, we basically took that substantial completion of construction milestone and moved it back so that it now includes the equipment installation and the technology upgrades I'm talking about. And what that does is that's beneficial from the standpoint that after substantial completion of construction milestone, basically the contractors around, to simplistically describe it, the contractors around for two more months after that to assist the government in any way with various operational aspects of the facility. So it's kind of like a hands-on, you know, warranty, I'll say, for a couple of months, to simplistically say it. But, you know, we are planning on doing this work anyway, the technology upgrades and the equipment installation, and we couldn't incorporate that into substantial completion milestone before because it would have been cost prohibitive and it would have, you know, impacted the schedule. With the schedule impacted anyway from COVID, it then made sense to roll that stuff in and then set up the new substantial completion of construction date, which is now October of 2021, which was previously going to be December of 2020. And the new completion of commissioning date will be December of 2021, previously May of 2021. And I hope that was not too confusing for folks.
No, and you know, obviously, and I know there's been a little bit of delays here before this even. A project of this magnitude takes a while to get fully completed. Was there any sense of frustration by these delays from your office?
Well, frustration would be an understatement. I started off the year briefing my leadership in D.C. that everything's on track to be complete, you know, in December of 2020. Everything's good. And then 3 months later, you know, we start having these issues. So yeah, there's a huge amount of frustration. But I have to say, and I don't say this lightly, I've been working in the government program management arena for over 30 years. which is kind of staggering for me to say. But to see two separate agencies collaborate in the manner that DHS and USD have collaborated as a single entity to make decisions that are best for the program is actually quite remarkable. And I think it's a testament to the quality of the staff that USDA is hiring and bringing on here locally, and to the DHS staff that I had hired previously that now work for USDA that are still supporting me in construction. Because this is a highly, highly complex project, not only technically but managerially. And to be able to, the agencies to collaborate in the manner that they have is nothing short of remarkable.
Well, I know in 2020 there were some discussions about things that maybe folks didn't have access to. Is there certain things that have on the supply chain that have led to some of these scheduling changes and maybe not being able to get this piece of equipment or this type of metal or anything for the facility?
No, those kinds of issues are not in play any longer. The re-rack of the schedule, the way we've done it, is really, even though there's still some lingering issues from the previous delays that we had incurred, the base for the decision to move from December completion to an October completion is really rooted in including this additional effort, the equipment installation, and the technology upgrade as part of the end of construction milestone now, solely for the benefit of the facility staff, so that when they move in, they have the benefit of what we call the endurance period, the two-month period after construction, where the contractor's still there to help with any issues that arise out of the government's operation of the facility. Re-racking the schedule in that way has tremendous, tremendous benefit for the government.
Okay. Well, since there's been significant adjustments to the schedule, are there any concerns about the project's overall budget?
There's always, when you have unexpected issues arise like this, as a program manager, you always have concern. But right now, we are projecting that we will complete all aspects of the project within the $1.25 billion cost baseline that we have and the existing funding that we have. So right now, things are looking good. This was unexpected. We had to make some adjustments working with USDA on various aspects. But from a construction standpoint, the construction and commissioning, we are projecting that we will be fine with the budget that we have and the funding that we have.
All right, that's pretty reassuring for a lot of folks, I'm sure. Again, speaking with Tim Barr, NBAF Program Manager, we'll bring on Dr. Ken Burton now, NBAF Coordinator for USDA. Dr. Burton, if the construction timeline has been pushed out 10 months, how is the overall project only being delayed by 4 months?
That's a good question, Brandon. And as Tim said, some of these milestones can get fairly confusing. And so, you know, we've got construction milestones, and then we've got programmatic milestones. And that's basically the focus that USDA is looking at, is the programmatic milestones. So currently, we're looking at December of 2023 to complete the programmatic transition of the mission off of the Plum Island Animal Disease Center on Plum Island over to NBAF. So that original milestone was scheduled for August of 2023, and now, as I said, it's going to be December of 2023. So, in a nutshell, kind of what we've done is basically realigned how we're going to do several things prior to December of 2023 to be able to maximize the efficiency of our time and efforts. We're working really close with Tim and DHS to find ways that we can potentially take on some additional responsibility of some of the operational functions of the facility, which will allow our personnel to get in and, you know, be hands-on and to be able to be more effective at implementing some of those SOPs and identifying some of the plans that need to be accomplished. And we're looking at potentially having some of that availability as early as April of 2021. So just to kind of review the operational milestones for USDA, you know, we're talking September of 2023 to achieve full operational capability. So this is when registration for all of the select agents or the agents that will be researched at NBAF, this is when that registration is granted by the Federal Select Agent Program, which is the oversight program, and we receive approval for transfer to be able to work with foot and mouth disease, and this is granted by the Secretary of Agriculture. So this was originally scheduled for December of 2022, now becomes September of 2023. And then December of 2023 is when all of the programmatic mission from Plum Island should be transferred over to NBAF, which originally was scheduled for August of 2023. And then April of 2024 is the milestone when all of USDA closure activities will be completed at Plum Island. So the entire move of everything from USDA will be completed over to NBAF. So we've revised our select agent registration strategy, so that's key for being able to keep that timeline, being able to establish the operational capability, and this is going to be dependent on access to portions of the facility while the contractor is responsible for that space. And so it really, again, as Tim said, just can't emphasize enough how well both agencies are working together to make all this happen. So one last thing that we're changing to accomplish this is we're prioritizing the registration of several of the pathogens that we'll be working on at NBAF. So we're going to focus on African swine fever, classical swine fever, and foot and mouth disease to ensure that the mission continuity is there during the closure of Plum Island. So a lot going on, as you can tell, but things are working together pretty seamlessly at this point.
That's good to hear. All right. Well, we got to take a quick timeout. We will come back much more with our NBAF officials here on News Radio KMAN. In Focus continues after these words.